Now the word elites has become one of the dirtiest words in American politics. Over the course of history, it's an idea that has been in place since the days of the founding fathers, who worried about an arrogant British king heaping abuse on ordinary Americans.
Today, the term elite and its prevailing definition have mostly been claimed by the conservative movement, with watershed moments coming in a 1964 speech by Ronald Reagan and in this attack ad aimed at Democrat Howard Dean.
What do you think of Howard Dean's plans to raise taxes on families by $1,900 a year?
What do I think? Well, I think Howard Dean should take his tax hiking, government expanding, latte drinking, sushi eating, Volvo driving, New York Times reading,
body piercing, Hollywood loving, left wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs.
Got it?
Club for Growth PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Beverly Gage is a historian at Yale University. She recently wrote about the history of the word elites for the New York Times. Beverly, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
So looking back at that Howard Dean ad that we just heard, how does that fit into our idea of who the elites are?
Well, I think for a long time in American history, you know, the idea of an elite was of a group of people who held a lot of formal political power. Today, it tends to be more the idea of a cultural elite or a coastal elite or a liberal elite, people who have the kind of attributes that you saw listed there. They like sushi, they drink lattes, they drive Volvos, and that tends to be more of a cultural class, really, than a social class, necessarily.
Why is this such a powerful word to level at someone in American politics?
You know, that's one of the mysteries that I kind of wanted to get at in the piece that I was writing, that there, in some ways, the word elite is still a compliment. So when you use it as an adjective, you say, you know, that's an elite athlete. That's someone to aspire to be. But when it's used as this noun that you're an elite or the elites, it tends to sort of evoke this idea of people who are disconnected from ordinary life, people who like to tell other folks what to do, and that's really become its political meaning.
Now, if you look at the 2016 election, and you point this out in your piece, that Donald Trump has a private jet, billions of dollars, an Ivy League education, but he does not consider himself one of the elites, and it seemed like a lot of voters agreed with him, so why not?
Right. Well, that is, again, one of the great political mysteries of our moment, that Donald Trump, who actually far more than Hillary Clinton, was born to wealth, really had his path paved for him and has always been relatively insulated. He is not described as an elite, and he certainly doesn't describe himself as one, but says, you know, Hillary Clinton definitely is one. And I think it's partly because that term has come to designate a political ideology that liberals are elites or elitists, while conservatives can't possibly be. And also that, you know, Trump was someone who kind of rejected a sort of expert knowledge, a kind of, you know, the kind of know-it-all college professor in favor of the telling it like it is American people. That was his story anyway.
Now, there are some critiques embedded in that cultural definition of the term elites that, yeah, people on the left have identified with and said, yeah, maybe there are some things there that liberals need to own. Do you think that the liberal movement has ever really looked in the mirror and taken to task whether or not they consider that to be something they need to think about?
Right. Well, that is going to be a sort of interesting conversation over the next few years. I mean, if it is a conversation that develops, because like many political stereotypes, there's some measure of truth in all of this, right? And I think the place that it probably has the most meaning is in the idea that people tend to be kind of resistant to technocrats or policy elites who sort of look at things on paper and design policies for other people's lives without actually then reaching out to and getting to know the people whose lives this is going to affect. So that may, in fact, be a conversation that emerges, and that kind of conversation might actually be a productive one.
And you say that the term elites, it's got a lot of cultural currency today, but it seems like it goes all the way back to the founding fathers. So how did they see it?
Right. Well, so the founding fathers understood themselves to be rebelling against the concentrated power of a kind of monarchical elite. And then you've seen a lot of different populist rebellions of one sort or another throughout American history. So the Jacksonians, when Andrew Jackson came into power, they were rebelling against the Founding Fathers because at that point the Founding Fathers had become the kind of entrenched elite. And we saw this, of course, again in the late 19th century with the movement, the populist movement, that really gave us the word populist as a formal political category.
Was there ever a backlash against the prevailing idea of who elites were throughout the pages of history?
Well, there have been people who have critiqued and debated who deserves to be called an elite. So, say, in the 1950s and 1960s, sociologists, professors spent a lot of time trying to puzzle out who was a real American elite. Probably the most famous book from that moment was by a sociologist named C. Wright Mills, who wrote a book called The Power Elite. And to him, the power elite were all the people who were in charge of these giant new institutions that really were defining American life. So from the military to the government to the big new universities of the post-war years. But they were people who held real power. They made a decision. That decision affected other people's lives. And I think the puzzle now is how a kind of liberal professor at University of Wisconsin at Madison might be labeled an elite, but Donald Trump, a billionaire who is president of the United States, says that he's not one.
Well, Ronald Reagan seems like he was among those who birthed the word elites as an icon for the conservative movement in 1964. How did Reagan use that word?
Right. Reagan, I think, is really the person who crystallized elite as a cultural term, as a cultural idea. And for Reagan, you know, the cultural elite were, I believe he used the phrase, distant bureaucrats in Washington. Again, this idea that there were a bunch of people who were only interested, who went to the same schools, who were only interested in talking to each other, also known as the liberal establishment in that moment. That's who Reagan was really evoking when he used the word elite. And that's really the vision that has stuck, I think.
Does this word have a corollary that's used effectively by liberals at this moment in history?
Well, that is a really interesting question. So there are certainly plenty of choice words that liberals are throwing both in the direction of the Trump campaign and in the direction of the conservative movement at this point. At some point in history, one of the favorite words for liberals that was intended to kind of evoke this isolated elite sense was plutocrat, right, or a plutocracy or an oligarchy, right? So that used to be much more a part of our political language. I think today that doesn't have quite as much meaning.
It's not quite as catchy.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't really resonate with us anymore. And so I think a lot of the epithets going the other way, there are many of them, but I don't think they evoke quite the same image. Maybe the one percenters is the closest that we can get.
Beverly, thanks a lot for joining us.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Beverly Gage is a historian at Yale University. She recently wrote about the history of the term elites for the New York Times, and you can read that piece on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, President Obama gave his farewell speech last night in Chicago. We'll look at what he had to say, hear a little bit of it, and ask for your thoughts as well. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.